Open your Bible with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Every word all year, seeking the Lord to say, God, how would you sow your seed into my heart? How would you plant deeply your word into my heart so that it bears fruit, so that it comes up, so that everything you want to accomplish in me is done. We've been inviting our church family to read through Genesis to Revelation, and we are at the midway point. We just finished Psalms. We're going into Proverbs. And I just want to call your attention to one of Jack's favorites. It's one of my favorites. It's one of those places where you understand why it says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's one of those verses that you want to hide in your heart so that it can bear fruit later, so that it can go deep, so that it can put down roots, so that on those days when you want to pray a prayer that says, Lord, would you remind me who you are? Who you are, who you are. Would you remind me who I am? This is one of those places where you can turn and say, now I get it. Now I remember. Now I recall. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. I want us to treat this because we've got our kids in with us today. So let's just treat this like it's our memory verse for today, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. In all your ways, know him, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. But let's look at it together, right? Okay, so read it with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your paths straight. Isn't that what you long for? Because life can get pretty tangled up, right? I mean, straight paths would be a good thing. Directed paths would be a good thing. To know the next right thing. I got to tell you, it's been a week. And for some of you, it's been a week. And this is one of those times when I feel like I'm preaching to myself every bit as much as I am to you. Because my heart needs to be reminded when I try to fix things. My heart needs to be reminded when I try to be the answer to every question. A buddy of mine, he's a pastor, he said, the answer to all the hard questions is Rick works harder. But there's a place where Jesus said, if you're weary and burdened, maybe you ought to come to me. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's something that God has begun to sort of work into my life over the last few years, and it's a statement that goes something like this. When I find myself in a season of life that's just too hard, I don't know if you ever find yourself at a place where you just, if somebody asks, how's it going? The answer is always, it's just kind of a hard season right now. When I find myself in a place where it's just too hard, I got to ask myself, am I doing it wrong? Because Jesus said, this is for you, Josh, Jesus said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So, Lord, I want to walk in step with you. I want to live in step with you. Let's say it again so it can hide in your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your path straight. So here's some questions I want to invite you to just chew on. Just hide these in your heart. You may even want to snap a picture of the screen just so you can go home later and think about these questions. One, what are you trusting in? Because everybody's trusting in something. Everybody's trusting in something. You trust when you drive down the road that the guy coming in the other direction is going to stay in his lane. And if he doesn't, it's a problem, right? Everybody's trusting in something. We have these social contracts with one another. We count on one another. Not to get outside of the boundaries or outside. What are you trusting in? What are you trusting in? Question number two. What do you need to stop leaning on? What are the places that you turn when you reliably need some relief, when you reliably need some comfort, when you need to turn to some place that's safe, some place that's secure, some place that you don't have to be scared? What are you leaning on that is really not capable of supporting your weight? You know what I'm saying? It's really not capable of carrying the load, the mental load, the emotional load, the heart load that you need it to carry. Where are you leaning? What are you leaning on that you need to stop leaning on? And this is the real question. This is the baseline question of Do you know that you know God? Because until you have that settled sense, you are my father and I am your child. Until you have that, honestly, all you've got is a collection of good sayings. So let's walk through this together. Let's walk through this together. And we're going to key off of those big words, trust, lean not, and know. So we're going to lean into those things. And I was listening to a podcast this last week, and I wrote it down because I don't want to plagiarize. There was this lady, and her name is, I wrote it down, let me find it here, Jeannie Stevens. And she's just written a new book. It's just about to come out. It's called What's Here Now? But the subtitle of the book is what got me. The subtitle of the book, and I thought, man, this is exactly what I want us to talk about as we talk about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. She says, rehashing the past, rehearsing the future, versus simply resting in Christ for the present. Rehashing the past, rehearsing the future, versus simply resting in Christ for the present moment. I don't know about you, but I am that guy. I take conversations that I've had, and I'll replay them in my head, and I'll think, now when she said that, what did she mean by that? There was a long pause after I said that before he replied to what I was saying. What was in that pause? When he said this, I should have said that. And I rehash a lot of the things. Do you do that? Does anybody else do that? There's a pill for that, right? But I'm telling you, you can get stuck in that mode, right? You can get stuck in that pattern of rehashing and just replaying on loop every one of those conversations. And if it happens just in casual conversation, that's one thing. But if it happens in close-in relationships that really matter, you can become paralyzed in your relationship with your spouse. You can become paralyzed in your relationships with the people that you work closely with every day as you try to second guess and rethink and replay, rehashing the past. Or maybe you more typically land in that idea of rehearsing the future. You ever had one of those deals? I'm bad about this too. Especially if I'm mowing the grass. If I'm mowing the grass, I have conversations in my head that haven't happened yet, but I know need to happen. And while I'm obsessing over those, and while I'm having sort of a mini anxiety, I'm mowing along and I'm thinking, well, here's what I need to say to him. And when I say that, then he's going to say this. And then when he says that, then I'm going to say this. Here's my killer comeback. And I've got, trouble is, the other person never gets the script. And I'm never more than two sentences into the conversation when the whole thing has gone off the rails. And all the anxiety and all the tension that I've built into my heart about what's going to happen is just gone. It's just useless labor. If only I could just trust the Lord and rest in His presence for what happened, for what will happen. If only I could say, Lord, I give back to you every conversation. I give back to you, especially the ones that matter, right? And it makes sense to give back to the Lord the conversations that matter the most and say, God, I need you over this. I need you over this. And to say, Lord, I know I need to have this conversation. I know I need to go there with this person that I love and care about. And rather than rehearse how this conversation might go, Lord, could I just intercede for this brother of mine that I love? Could I just remind my heart that you are his God, just like you're my God? That there's no enmity between he and I, that there's no tension between he and I, except for that I work up in my mind. What if I could just rest in the Lord for the present moment? So, Jesus says, and I've got it marked in my Bible. I just want to read it to you. These are verses, right? These are the verses. Say it with, back up to the trust in the Lord verse with me for just a minute. So let's say it again. The trust in the Lord with all your heart slide, please. There we go. Trust in the Lord with all your, you're supposed to say it with me. I'm sorry. I wasn't clear, was I? See, I didn't rehearse that part of the conversation. Let's say it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your path straight. Okay, now catch me back up to where I was a minute ago. Because in Matthew's gospel, when I was reading this, Lord, how do we communicate this in a way that just hides it in our hearts? Another one of those verses that has become a, kind of a life verse for me, Matthew 11:30, where Jesus, he's just talking to the people, and beginning at 28, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. What if instead of rehashing, what if we could just rest in Jesus? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. What are you trusting in? What are you trusting in? Because for my money, the only one that is trustworthy is Jesus. The only one who is actually capable of bearing the weight that my heart places on him is Jesus. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not just academically, not just on the weekends, not just when the pressure is off, but discipline yourself and teach yourself the practice of trusting in Jesus in the easy times so that when the hard times come, right, Sam? When the hard times come, your natural default response, you won't rise to the occasion, you will descend to the level of your training. You train your heart to trust in the Lord. Come to me, I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. And then that other question of, what are you leaning on? That you need to stop leaning on. There's this line from Isaiah, and it's when the people of God were putting their hope, they were putting their trust in allegiances and alliances like they were going to get voted off the island. And the Lord says in Isaiah chapter 36, he says, you've been trusting in Egypt. You've been trusting in military alliances with a strong army, and it looks good on paper. But the Lord says in Isaiah 36, I've got it marked in my Bible, the Lord says in Isaiah 36, He just says, if you're going to trust in Egypt, depending on Egypt, that splintered reed of a staff. And that picture, that word picture, is very powerful to me. If you trust in Egypt, that splintered reed of a staff, which pierces the hand of anyone who leans on it. Have you ever gone to something for comfort, for support, something you could lean on, and it wasn't strong enough to bear the weight that you brought to it, and instead of being able to hold on and lean on it, you wind up and it just breaks under the weight, and it winds up injuring you. And that splintered reed that pierces the hand, and you wind up, man, this is why sometimes we talk about, you know, how do you overcome the hurts and the hang-ups and the addictions that you went to and you leaned on for support, but it was a bruised reed, it was a splintered reed, and when you leaned on it, you were injured instead of helped. What are the relationships that you've gone back to that hurt you before? And I don't know what makes you think it's going to be different this time, but when you went back again, it hurt you again. And you finally came to your senses and broke it off and got back on the straight and narrow, back on the right road with Jesus. But if you're not careful, you'll be right back in that same relationship again. If you're not careful, you'll be right back in that same mess all over again. What have you been leaning on that you need to stop leaning on? There's another line in Isaiah. It comes just a couple of chapters later. It says this, it says, talking about Jesus, it says, here's my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. And it says this, a bruised reed he will not break and a smoldering wick he will not extinguish. So what if you've been leaning on a bruised reed? What if you are a bruised reed? What if you are a bruised reed? What if you're the person that other people who should probably know better, keep leaning on you, and you can't bear the weight of it? You just can't bear up under it. But people keep, and what if you are the bruised reed? When you come to Jesus with it, when you come to Jesus with it, it says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick that's all but burned out, he will not extinguish. Could I pray that over you for just a second? We're not toward the end yet, but I just want to pray that over you. Lord, in Jesus' name, some of us here today, we know what it is to be bruised. We know what it is to be weak. We know what it is, Lord, to be wounded and maybe running at 40% capacity instead of 80% capacity, Lord. We know what it is. We know what it is to be burned out or smoldering. We know what it is to be weakened, Lord. And we just, Father, in Jesus' name, would you meet us here and bind up the broken? Father, would you breathe across the coals, the char of our lives, Lord? Would you bring back the fire in our souls? Isn't that what you long for? Of course it is. Of course it is. So what are you trusting in? What have you been leaning on that you need to stop leaning on? And how do you go about, in all your ways, acknowledge him? In all your ways, know him? In all your ways, submit to him? It's an interesting word. It's an interesting word because it's not just knowing him up here. It's not even just knowing him in your heart. It's a walking the walk kind of submitting and knowing him, knowing he can be trusted, knowing that he is the one to whom you can turn. He is the one whose yoke you will be able to walk in. Amen. How do you know him? How do you know him? I marked it in my Bible. And again, I'm just giving you the ones that have been a treasure to me in the past. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a treasure to me. It's hidden in my heart. It helps me. I fall back to it. I fall back to it. That picture of the splintered reed, the bruised reed, is a picture that helps me on the daily. I go back to that again and again and again. And Philippians chapter 3 is another one of those beautiful pictures. Beautiful pictures of Christ. Paul says, look, I want to know him. I want to know him. He says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. And he says this, he says, look, not that I have already attained. Because I know, I mean, we're a gathering of the convinced this morning for the most part. You're here on a holiday weekend. You're not here because you don't believe. You're here because you do. And he says, look, it's not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on. I press on because I want to know Christ. I want to not just know him here. I want to not just know him here. I want to know him in my hands. I want to know him in my feet. I want to know him in my walk. I want to know him not just on Sundays. I want to know him through the week. And he says, not that I've already obtained, not that I've already arrived, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And he says, brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and pressing on for what is ahead, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. Amen. So let me invite you into this. Bryce, would you join me? What have you been trusting in? What have you been trusting in? Oh, that honestly makes you look good when you can pull it off, but you can't always pull it off. What have you been trusting in? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not just all your head, not just trust in the Lord with all you've got. What are you trusting? Trusting your bank account? Trusting your ability to make your mortgage payments? What are you trusting in? You trusting in this number of stripes on your sleeve? You trusting in the title on your office door? What are you trusting in? What are you trusting in? What is there in your life that you need to stop leaning on? Every time you lean in, you wind up getting hurt. Splinters in your hand, piercing your hand, piercing your heart, piercing your soul. What have you been leaning on that you need to stop leaning on? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for a minute? Because this is where it starts to get kind of real. Because maybe you've been leaning on some things that honestly, people on the outside looking in wouldn't even think too much about. But you know you've developed an unhealthy relationship with food. Or maybe you've developed an unhealthy relationship with escapism. Whether it has to do with Netflix or camping or whatever the case may be. But you know, other people wouldn't necessarily pick up on it yet, but you know the road you're on. And you've started down an unhealthy, unholy path of dependence. And you need to stop it now. You need to break those chains now. What have you been leaning on that you need to stop leaning on? Because there's this word that comes from Jesus. And it says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come to me. Do you know that you know Jesus? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Jesus says, I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. And you know what that means? That means he will meet you where you are. When Jesus says, I am meek and lowly in heart, it's his way of saying, you don't have to come to my level. I will come to yours. I will meet you where you are. I will meet you in your brokenness. I will meet you in your pain. I will meet you where you are. You will find rest for your souls.